You know, I always wondered, Robert, when we listen to Plato and then theories of so many other people who say that Atlantis, you know, was far off into the Atlantic Ocean, Edgar Cayce saying Atlantis was in Bimini, and it's very possible there were land masses in all those regions that went under as well. But I always wondered how Plato could write about Atlantis if it wasn't close to his neck of the woods. Because, you know, back several thousand years ago, I don't think he would have had the ability to know what was going on, let's say, in the Bahamas, for example. Do you?
Well, that's right. You have to remember, and a lot of people really miss this point, this is a very ancient account. Now, the way that the story got to Plato is through Solon, who lived around 200 years before Plato, around 600 B.C., another gigantic figure, one of the seven wise men of ancient Greece, and the father of democracy. This guy, they have his bust in, I believe it's the Library of Congress, or I don't know where it is, but he was a gigantic figure, and he had just set up democracy for the first time in Athens, and he traveled to Egypt. This is 600 BC, and he spoke with the high Egyptian priest, and the conversation turned to, you know, talk about where civilization started, how it started. And these ancient Egyptians, who at the time were known as the best keepers of history, brought out what we could consider to be their sacred records. And they began to tell Solon about this island. And what's important here, and what so many people miss, is that the Egyptians had not seen this island. They said that they got the record from an even earlier race, an earlier people. We don't know who they are, but obviously if it's that old, it had to be in the, you know, in the vicinity of Egypt. So I think it was probably the Sumerians. But in any case, they said that they had gotten the record themselves from an earlier race with a different language that had actually seen this island in antiquity and had written all its details down. Then the Egyptian priest said that they had translated it to the Egyptian tongue. And Solon became fascinated with the story. He took it back and he translated it to Greek. Then, 200 years later, Plato got it. He wrote it in the form of a dialogue in Timaeus and Critias. And we don't even have Plato's records because it was then translated to Latin. Plato's actual text got lost. So the Greeks later on had to actually retranslate it back from Latin to Greek. So you have to keep in mind that we don't have even Plato's records, much less Solon's records. We don't have the Egyptian records, certainly. And, of course, we don't have the original account by these prehistoric people. So this is something that has been translated multiple times. And the only people that actually saw this were people living at least 12,000 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Not Plato, not Solon, not the Egyptian priests. So these people were just relaying the story. They were links in a long chain that goes into distant antiquity.
Now, how much do you think might have been lost in all these various translations?
Well, you know, you have to remember that this was as important to them as, let's say, the Genesis, the book of Genesis is to us. This was the ancient world's Bible. This is where their gods and their, you know, exploits and how civilization started and these were extremely important. Now, what has certainly changed, without a doubt, are the names that are used in there, the geographical names. For instance, the Atlantic Ocean. Certainly, nobody would have called this an Atlantic Ocean 12,000 years ago. They didn't even know what an ocean was.
Exactly.
Other names like Pillars of Hercules. Hercules, you know, that's a Greek name. So what did the Egyptians call it? We don't know. What did the people call it before the Egyptians call it? We don't know. So the names have to be taken with a grain of salt. These were all translated, and we're actually told in Plato's text that Solon translated and changed all the names to Greek,
well,
including Atlantis.
I was going to say, how did we get the name Atlantis? From these translations?
Solon translated, he named it, he coined it as Atlantis. But if you look at, you know, ancient history, you see the memory of this island that was submerged with the Persians, with the Mesopotamians, with the Egyptians, the Greeks. I mean, it's everywhere. The entire ancient world talked about this place. and they certainly did not consider it as a myth.
And how far back, Robert, was it not an island, but attached to most of the landmass?
The Greek word they use is Nessos, which can be translated as an island or a peninsula. You know, the Egyptians told Solon that the island had been around, or the flood came, 9,600 years before their time.
Now, is this the biblical flood, do you think?
Well, let's do a comparison.
All right.
In the tale of Atlantis, you have these supermen, these Atlanteans, who came from the heavens. The earth is divided. Poseidon and crew come down from heaven. They set up this civilization, and they are extremely altruistic, very spiritual, very benevolent, and they are here to help the human race. And eventually, they mate. This is the story in Critias. I'm just telling you exactly what's written there.
And it's got some similarities to the Bible, too.
Yeah. Eventually, they mate with the mortals,
mm-hmm.
and they become more and more like humans, warlike, greedy. And eventually, they become completely belligerent, at which point they start to try and enslave people, actually. So they become the opposite of what they were supposed to be. And this is when Zeus steps in, sees that they've become wicked, and then sends this flood and destroys their island.
This sounds just like the biblical thing. It really
exactly.
is uncanny, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't say that this is a coincidence. In the
no.
Bible, it's the sons of God that come from the heavens. They are extremely benevolent, and then they mate with the daughters of men. They become wicked, and then God sends the flood.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, that's why... When you go, to really distant records, let's say at least 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, and you look at various civilizations of the ancient world, you start to see that, yeah, the details have changed, the names have changed, but something in really prehistoric times must have happened to put such an incredible impression on all these races, all these civilizations that are separated sometimes by thousands of miles, and that they all not only mention it, but it's the cornerstone of their religion and their culture.